reflection of Yahweh. This also comes from the Lord of hosts, Isaiah 28, verse 29a. The farmer, who shows himself a student of God in sowing, plowing, and harvesting, is in all this also a figure of Yahweh. Isaiah shows us this as well. For just as the farmer works here, so the Lord, the God of the covenant, works. This also comes from the Lord. He also is busy plowing, threshing, and harvesting in his ruling of the nations. Here he opens up the ground, and over there he levels it. He plows his furrows deep at the one place, and shallow at the other. He threshes and strikes in different ways, here with force, and there with gentleness. And always again he focuses in these different ways at his one goal, which he always obtains. Now pay attention to the fact that the farmer is not mentioned as a reflection of God, but as the reflection of Yahweh. The name Yahweh refers to God in a particular way. He is called Yahweh in the circle of the covenant, in the covenant of grace. It is a minor detail, but one should not ignore it, for it contains instruction. When dealing superficially with this, one can indeed reason that it is no miracle that a farmer is a reflection of God. For did the farmer not read the laws of God's own creation, which God has laid in it, and work in accordance to them? Thus one is naturally able to read God's laws back in what the farmer does. The student saw it from the teacher, and thus everyone can recognize the work of the teacher in the work of the student. Yet this is seeing things incorrectly, for it looks too much like the so-called natural theology, which sometimes thought that in order to know God, one needed to do no more than study nature. Nobody can discern from nature without the Word what God's deepest will or his highest work is. The nature of today is not the same as that of tomorrow. The laws which apply today will at one time no longer bind the world. Today the farmer is needed, for here we eat and drink. Today the field of the one always calls for a second of another. For in the world of today one will still marry. Humanity is increasing yet. But on the new earth one will no longer marry, and nobody will eat anymore. Then no one will read from the work of the farmer the rules of God. For the farmer will no longer be. But that is not all. There is yet another reason why people cannot in a moment exactly understand the Lord in his dealings from the way the farmer does his work. For in the end, the Lord works differently than his apprentice on the field. When the latter works 50 years on the field, he has to repeat that cycle of plowing, sowing, and harvesting 50 times. But God the Lord plows the ground but once, sows only once, and will harvest only once, at least if one pays attention to the great entirety of things. With him there is no return of the same work again and again. He calls the time of his work Day of the Lord. Thus that is one day, or if you like, one time to work, one great period of time. It stretches from the old paradise to the new. How would one be able to discern this by looking at the repetitive work of the farmer? No, there is no indication that the student of the master automatically reflects the teacher, also since the student makes errors, but not the teacher. He who wants to discern from the bungling of the student the method and work of the teacher will only be able to do that if he equals or exceeds the teacher in knowledge and thoroughly knows the student with the teacher. In any other case, he would, for example, blame the teacher of the mistakes of the student. Thus there remains for us but one way out. Only in faith, when one has been made wise to salvation by that Lord himself, then one can see the work of the God of the covenant shine forth in the work of the farmer, who is an apprentice of God. When one has learned from the Word of God how God became Lord to his people, and when one has in the observation of nature become a disciple of Scripture, then one knows that in the end there is in the history of church and world only one time for plowing, one time for seeding, and one time for harvesting. But one will learn something else as well. One will then hear that God's grace enters into our nature. And since our nature itself has now been bound to this cycle and is itself subject to the repetitive process of sowing, plowing, and harvesting, our God also presents us, to a certain extent, with the same process in our life. The processes of life obtain thus a certain foundational form, and so do trials. Thus there come in part motions of up and down according to regular schedules in the life of the individual, of a generation, of a church, and of a people. In each of these there is a certain regularity, but one that warns us against a false confidence. For every regularity is only relative. The last truth is that nothing will repeat itself, that the annual harvest of God is none other than the harvest of the Lord in the one day of the Lord. For that day one cannot verify. Only in faith one knows that God Yahweh obtains his goal and interferes in nature with his grace, which passes with us through its history to the last hour of the day of the Lord.